What's going on, City Church? Woo-hoo. Hey, well, I'm excited to be back to minister the Word of God to you this morning. And thank you, Pastor Brent and Nicole, for having us. We just so appreciate your pastors. And I want to encourage you to lean into God's Word this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever season of life you're in, God wants to speak a word to you today. You know, sometimes we can really take for granted the amazing blessing that we have to be believers in Jesus, to come to church every Sunday and worship like we did this morning, sense the presence of God, open up God's Word, and have God speak to us. It's an amazing blessing, isn't it, to have that opportunity? So let's just allow ourselves to really lean in to God's Word today, ask the Spirit of God to speak to us, to encourage us, whatever season of life we are in today. Psalm 119:93. The scripture says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. So if you need refreshing and reviving today, God's word is here to do that for you. Psalm 119:98 says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So if you need wisdom today, you need direction and need to know what to do in a certain situation, God's word is here to help you get that wisdom. Amen. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if you need direction today, you need to know where to go and what to do, God's word is here to do that. And if you open up your heart and your mind to the Spirit of God, he will teach you and show you exactly what to do. Let's pray and believe God this morning to speak to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the power of your word, God. We thank you that when your word is spoken and our hearts and our minds are open and willing to receive from you, that you can do something supernatural within us. God, we pray for every single person that needs wisdom this morning, that you would give them the wisdom to know exactly what to do. Father, we pray for every single individual here in this room that needs to know, that needs some refreshing and some reviving in their spirit, in their soul today. God, we pray that you would do that for them. God, we pray for anybody that's walking in here today that's weary and burdened, and it's a long weekend, but there's no long weekend in their mind because they're so weighed down with the cares and anxieties of this life. God, we pray that you revive them and refresh them today. God, we know that you can do all these things and speak to every individual through your word and by your spirit. And we ask you to do that this morning in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, the title of my message is Crossing into Blessing. Crossing into Blessing. How many of you want to cross into the blessing this morning? I know I do. How many of you are tired of being blessed? You kind of want a little stress, actually. You're tired of being blessed. Okay. Nobody? Okay, we're going to talk about crossing into blessing. And from what I can tell and from my conversations with Pastor Brent, the City Church is in a season of blessing. Can you guys feel it? You're in a season of blessing. You've launched into three services, which is amazing. I just from what I see, your people are being saved and being baptized. Your vision for what God wants to do through your church is expanding and growing. I saw the legacy announcements. So you're stepping into Christian education, which is amazing. Your young adults ministry is growing. You're talking about starting the city school. I see is also people. How many of you go to the city school and get that Bible education? How many of you do that? Three people. Okay, it looks like more on Instagram. Okay. The other service, yeah. The other service, there you go. Okay, got it. Okay. The city school's growing. Anyway, the blessing is happening in all kinds of ways. And so, as we enter into a season of blessing individuals, families, churches, we have to adjust our thinking and our expectation, our perspectives, because living in the blessing is different than living in different kinds of seasons. And I should say that in every season of our lives, God does bless us in various ways. Even in hard times or painful times and seasons of suffering, God doesn't leave us and his blessing is ever present. But there are specific times and seasons where the overarching theme of our lives is the blessing of God. Well, it feels like everything we put our hands to, it turns into gold. Why? Because God is blessing us. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26, the prophet says, God speaks to the prophet saying, I'm going to make them and everything that surrounds my hill a blessing. I pray that over your church, that God will make everything and make you a blessing. Everything that surrounds you will be blessed in Jesus' name. He says, I'll send down the rain at the appropriate time. There's going to be a rainstorm of blessing. So he says, there's seasons in your life where it feels like everything is being blessed and God's blessing is just pouring down on you. And it's important for us to understand the season of life that we are in, because life happens in seasons. Life comes at us in seasons. And being successful in life is largely about understanding the season that you're in and then making adjustments according to that season. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is a season for everything. It says, for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. It says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. All the gardeners said, amen. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And maybe some of you can identify yourselves in some of these verses, whatever season you might be in. There is a season for everything the scripture says. Sarah and I have a three-year-old and a one-year-old. And so we're in a babies and toddler season. It's a busy season. It's a diaper season. It's a crawling season. It's a don't touch that season. It's a please stop talking. You're so loud type of season. It's all kinds of things going on with little kids. But you know what? It's just a season. And sometimes we enjoy it. Sometimes we endure it. But it's just a season. And it's coming a time where the kids will grow up and then we'll be out of that season. Some of you today, you are in your single season and maybe you want to get out of your single season. That's why you're coming to young adults tonight. Maybe you're going to meet another young adult and get out of your single season. Hey, it's just a season. And there may come some time where you miss that season. I'm just kidding. No, okay. So some of you are in your newlywed season. You just got married. You're excited about that. Some of you are students in high school, university. You are in the learning season. Some of you maybe are retired, empty nesters, your grandparents. That's the season. There's a season for everything the Bible says. Some of us in this room, we are in a season of success and others are in a season of suffering. And you know, if you're in a season of suffering right now, I want you to know, you can look at somebody else's life and say, man, they have it so good, they're so successful, and they've never been through what I've been through. But listen, everybody goes through seasons of suffering. Even those that seem like they're successful, there was a time, or there will be a time, where they'll be suffering. There is a season for everything. And that's the beauty of being part of a church. In a church family, there are people who you can link arms with, who maybe if you join a city group, you can make friends, you can link arms together, go through the different seasons of life together, encourage each other, laugh together, weep with one another. And then in a church, there's also people who've been through your season. There's people who have experienced what you've experienced, and they can give you perspective and wisdom. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, be happy with those who are in a happy season. Learn how to be happy for people. You may not be rejoicing, maybe you're weeping, but rejoice with those who rejoice. It says, now weep with those who weep. So there's going to be a time where you're rejoicing, but your friend is weeping. Weep with those who weep. The beautiful thing about being part of a church family is that the church celebrates your wins. When you win, the church wins. Church comes around you. You have a baby to do baby dedication. They celebrate the birth of your child with you. In our church, and this is a little plug for our church, if you haven't moved to Brandon. At our church, if you join the serve team and it's your birthday, one of our pastors will come to you even at your workplace and give you your favorite cake on your birthday. When you win, we win. We want to celebrate that. But the church also weeps with you when you weep. When you hurt, your church family hurts with you. They'll come to your hospital room. They'll sit with you. They'll grieve with you. They'll pray with you. They'll believe with you. It's such so beautifully part of a church. Now, just in the same way as individuals and families have seasons, churches too have seasons. Sometimes churches have hard seasons. But thank God right now you're in a season of blessing. And we have to understand what season that we are in. Because the thing about seasons is if you want to succeed in your season, you have to adjust to your season. You can't make your season adjust to you. You have to adjust to your season. And the reason why this matters is because what flourishes in one season may fail in another season. What flourishes in one season may fail in another season. What works in one season of your life may not work in the next season. What's working for you right now won't work for you in the future. You got to make some adjustments. You might be a first-year university student and you're really struggling in school and you're thinking, maybe this is not for me. I got to leave university, do something else. So maybe you just got to adjust to the season of life that you're in. Your studying habits in high school won't work for university. You got to adjust to your season. Maybe you're a newlywed couple and the honeymoon period is over. It happened. You didn't think it was ever going to happen, but it happened. So now you look at your wife and you're like, she's kind of a slob. And maybe you look at your husband and you're like, oh my goodness, he's kind of irritating. And I got to live with this for the next 80 years. And you're thinking, did I make a mistake? No, you didn't make a mistake. Listen, it's just a different season. One season is over, you're into the next season. Maybe you're the parents of adult children and you don't like the decisions that your adult children make and you want to parent them like they're still living in your household, but they don't. Listen, it's a mistake. You're in a different season. You got to make some adjustments. So what flourishes in one season may fail in another. We have to learn how to adjust to the season of life that we're in. And as you are crossing into a season of blessing, because I believe that what's happening at the City Church right now isn't just a little blip on the radar, it's actually a season that you're in. And people are going to keep coming to Christ, and your church is going to continue growing, and you're going to keep reaching out, and things are going to be amazing because God is blessing you in this season. As you're crossing into a season of blessing, we have to adjust, and we have to prepare for that blessing. And thankfully, the Bible tells us exactly how we should think as we prepare to experience the blessing of God. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and actually really the whole book, we see the Hebrews, the children of Israel, and they are about to walk out of 430 years of slavery plus another 40 years of survival in the wilderness, and they're about to get into their time of blessing. God had miraculously delivered them from Egypt, and now they're literally at the threshold. This is the Jordan River right there, and all they have to do is cross the Jordan River, and then they're going to be into the promised land, into their time of blessing. And so Moses, knowing that the Hebrews are crossing into a new season, a season of blessing, after 430 years of slavery and 40 years of survival, he wants to prepare them for living in the blessing. So God instructs Moses to teach the Hebrews on how to behave once they have crossed into the blessing. Some people just don't know how to behave. And they gotta be taught how to behave. My kids have to be taught how to behave. Are you with me? And when God brings into a new season, a season of blessings, says, listen, you have to know how to behave once you get into the blessing. So Deuteronomy 6, it says this. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments. Listen, God's words are not suggestions, they're commandments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it. Listen, God's word is not just meant to be learned. God's word is meant to be done, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it. Verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson, we're going to come back to that, might fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. So God says to through Moses to the Hebrews, people who are formerly owned as property. I want you to remember, this is not just, hey, coming out of one season into the next season. These guys, just not too long ago, they were owned as property, but now are to become owners of property. He speaks to those who are formerly slaves of the wealthy, who are about to become stewards of wealth themselves. It's a gigantic transition the Hebrews are going through. And God says, listen, when you cross into the blessing, as you leave slavery behind in Egypt, as you leave survival behind in the wilderness, there's a few things I want you to keep in mind. And the first thing I want you to keep in mind, number one, is I want you to remember to obey God's word fully. I want you to remember to obey God's word fully. This is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments I'm giving you, that you might do them in the land that I am giving you. So the first thing you have to remember, church, as you enter into your season of blessing, prioritize obeying the word of God. Obey God's word fully. Now, all the time, we're supposed to obey God's word, but this really matters in a season of blessing because the blessing can be distracting. The blessing can be distracting. These guys are coming out of slavery, out of survival. For the first time in 470 years, these guys are going to have property. They're going to have money. They're going to have a chance to do what they want to do and enjoy themselves. And it's possible they're going to be distracted from their purpose of obeying God's word to enjoying the blessing. So he says, listen, I want you to prioritize obeying the word of God. See, in a season of desperation, in a season where God is all you have, in a season where clinging to God is your only means of making it through, it is easier to stay focused on obeying God's word. If you've been through a season, maybe right now you're going through a season where everything's going wrong and you can hardly handle thinking, well, you're going to cling to God's word. You're going to cling to the Bible. You're going to cling to God. You're going to come to church every Sunday. You're going to worship. You're going to serve. Why? Because God is all you have. And you know you will never make it through without God. But when that season changes and you make it through and you're blessed, you can get distracted. You can get distracted. So Moses says, listen, I want you to focus on obeying the word of God. So as we enjoy the blessing of a growing congregation, as we enjoy the blessing of greater affluence for our people and greater influence in our city, we have to remember to obey God's word fully. Now, when it comes to obeying God's word as Christians, we have to always remember this. We are new covenant Christians. We're not in the old covenant. We're not the Hebrews in Deuteronomy. We are the new creation in the new covenant. And that means that our relationship with God is not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus has already done for us. Amen? So we don't come to God and we say, hey, if I obey God, God likes me. If I disobey God, God doesn't like me. No, no, no. I come to God on the basis of what Jesus has done. That's why you can come in here, even if you had a rough week, even if you've been rebelling, you can come here Sunday morning. And even in the first song, you can just repent. God, I repent from all my sin instantly. You're reconnected. Everything's good because it's based on what Jesus has done for us. And so with that in mind, you have to remember, following Jesus is not about earning God's favor by good behavior. Following Jesus is about understanding what the gospel teaches, that we are all flawed, broken, sinful, mistake-making, failure-prone people, and we can never earn God's favor on our own. But the gospel also says that God saw us in our hopeless, helpless condition, and instead of saying, hey, earn my favor, he sent his perfect son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And by dying on the cross, Jesus took the consequences, the punishment for all the wrong that we have ever done and will ever do. And now anyone who believes in him receives the full favor of God, the unmerited grace of God, simply by faith. Isn't that amazing? Listen, this simple truths and the simple facts of the gospel are not things we learn and then put in the background. We stand on them every single day when we worship and come to God and follow Jesus. It's based on what he did on that cross. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift. Listen, salvation is a gift, and everything else God gives you is a gift, free by grace. Why would God give you freely his son and say, if you want a job, you gotta earn that. Would that make sense? No, no, listen. It's all by grace. If he gave you his son, will he not with him freely give you all other things, Romans 8 says. So the grace of God, the favor of God towards us is a free gift from God. And because of that, as followers of Jesus, our obedience to God is not about earning God's blessing. We already have it. And we have to say this stuff because as Christians, we are prone to getting back to works righteousness. We're prone to do that, to thinking that we earn things from God. But our obedience to God is about bringing glory to God, not earning blessings from God. So when we prioritize obeying God's word fully, what it does for us, it keeps us anchored to our purpose. It keeps us anchored to our purpose. God knows our hearts. He knows that we tend to enjoy the blessing and to forget our purpose. But listen, enjoying God's blessing is not the purpose of your life. Glorifying God is the purpose of your life. And so when you stay anchored and rooted to the word of God, what happens is you stay focused on your purpose even while you are enjoying the blessing. Never get too blessed that you no longer start your day with God's word. Let the word of God saturate your mind every single day. So number one, Moses says, listen, I want you to obey God fully. Number two, he says, I want you to worship God wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. Worship God wholly. Worship God wholeheartedly. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. Come on, how many of you know this scripture by heart? Okay, say it with me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your, and with all your, and with all your. Mark 12, Jesus says, this is actually the most important commandment. The scribes ask him in Mark 12, verse 28, he says, teacher, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God. Say it with me one more time, with all your, and with all your, and with all your, and with all your. Worship God wholly, wholeheartedly. So listen, obedience keeps us anchored to our purpose. Obeying God's word keeps us anchor to our purpose, but it is worship that keeps us from idolatry. Worship keeps us from idolatry. I love in 1 John, the last thing John says in 1 John, he says, my children, flee idolatry. Keep yourselves from idols. We tend to idolize things. So obedience keeps us anchored to our purpose. Worship keeps us free from idolatry. We are to worship God wholly. Now, what is worship? Worship is attention and affection. Worship is attention and affection. Worship is not singing a song. Worship is attention and affection. When our attention and affection are centered on God, it keeps us free from idolatry. God's blessings are meant to be enjoyed, not worshiped. God's blessings are meant to be enjoyed, not worshiped. And see, here's the thing about worship. Worship is not transactional. Worship is transformational. So when I come here and I worship God, or as Romans 12 says, my whole life is to be worship. When I'm keeping all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength focused on God, and I'm giving him my worship with my life, I'm not giving him a transaction. I'm actually being transformed. The object of my worship, the object of my attention and my affection does something to me. Worship changes you. Worship changes you. So you have to be careful what you worship. Because worship changes you. If you worship money, if you worship prosperity, you will become greedy. You will. Because worship changes you. Money will never say, hey, you've got enough money, calm down. Never gonna happen. Money always says, you could use a little more. Look how much more they have. So if you worship prosperity, you're going to become greedy. If you worship people, you're gonna become cynical. If you worship people, you will become cynical. I'm sorry if this is you, but I've met way too many old or older people who have become cynical because they put all their attention and affection on their children. And when the kids didn't do what they thought they should do, they became cynical. And now they no longer connect with the next generation. Why? They became cynical. If you worship people, you will become cynical, whether it's your kids, your husband, your wife, or anybody else. If you worship celebrities, you worship your pastor, you will become cynical because we all let people down. And the moment they let you down, if that's where your worship, your attention, affection is, you will become cynical. If you worship position, you'll become self-centered. If you worship status, you will become self-centered. If you worship pleasure, that's the real big one. Worshiping pleasure, you worship weekends, you worship time off, you worship vacations, you worship travel. If you worship pleasure, you'll become shallow. But if you worship God, you become more like God. 2 Corinthians says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, just as from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. God is the only person who you can safely worship, because the transformation God gives you when you worship him is completely righteous, is completely holy, is completely good. If you worship God, you will only be a better husband. If you worship your wife, you'll become a worse husband. If you worship God, you become a better parent. You worship God, you become a better everything, because worshiping God transforms you, makes you more like God. So the scripture says, when you worship, don't do it half-heartedly, worship wholly, worship wholeheartedly, worship with all your heart. Now, what does it mean to worship with all your heart? Worshiping with all your heart has to do with money. Worshiping with your heart is not about feelings. Worshiping with your heart has to do with money. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there is your, you know it, there your heart will be also. Where your money is, that's where your heart will be also. So when the scripture says, worship with all your heart, that has to do with money. When it says, worship with all your soul, that has to do with emotional affection. Who do I feel the strongest about? Somebody, something, or my Jesus? Worship with all your soul. Worship with all your mind. That has to do with your belief systems. So when you read God's word, and it tells you something that doesn't agree with what you already believe, and you put your belief system aside and you believe what God's word says, you're worshiping. You're worshiping with all your mind. Worship with all your strength. That has to do with physical actions. So that's why I love the church. Because when you come to church, you learn how to worship. You learn whole life worship. When you give generously to the church, you're worshiping with your heart. When you sing passionately in church, you're worshiping with your soul. When you submit to God's word willingly, you're worshiping with your mind. And when you serve each other like, oh, a beautiful serve team serving today, you're worshiping God with all your strength. And you're learning how to worship God wholly, wholeheartedly. And it spills over into every other part of your life. So Moses says, listen, number one, obey God fully. Number two, I want you to worship God wholly, wholeheartedly. Number three, he says, I want you to think with God generationally. I want you to think with God generationally. When God thinks generationally. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love it. In Exodus, when God comes to deliver the Israelites, he calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These guys have been dead for 100 years. He's still referencing himself as the God of generations. He's saying, I'm coming to rescue you because I made a promise to Abraham, so I'm coming to fulfill it 400 years later to his descendants. Think with God generationally. Deuteronomy 6 says, these words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? What does it mean to think with God generation? What does it mean to teach them diligently to your sons? Here's what I think it means. I think it means that the next generation needs to see you obeying God's word. The next generation, your kids, your son and your grandson, they need to see you obeying God's word. They have to see it. Our kids, the next generation, they need to see us worshiping God wholeheartedly. They need to see it. That's how we have to think. My obedience today, when I don't feel like obeying, my obedience today is a message to the next generation. Why am I coming to church? I want my kid to sit next to me, stand next to me, and see me worshiping. It's a message to the next generation. Now, a little further down, in verse 18, he says, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers by driving out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Moses says, listen, there's coming a time where you'll be living in a blessing. You're going to have kids in the promised land. And when you have those kids in the promised land, they will have never seen slavery in Egypt. They will have never seen survival in the wilderness. They were born when you were already rich. They'll think this is just how life is. And one day, they're going to come and ask you, what do the statutes, testimonies, and the judgments mean that the Lord our God commanded you? What's the question? The question is, why do you live like this? Why do we have these values? Why do you always make me read my Bible before I go to bed? Why do we pray together? Why is it that I can't miss church on Sunday to go play basketball with my friends? They're asking you, what do all these things that we do, why do we do them? And verse 21, Moses says, you're going to feel like saying, because I said so, now shut up and get in the car. You're going to feel like saying that. But it's a teachable moment. So instead say this, hey, listen, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. When they ask you, why do we do this? It's because this beautiful car you got into, there was a time when I couldn't afford a vehicle. That's why we do it. We were slaves in Egypt. Why do we go to church? Because there was a time when I was a sinner and I thought everything in my life, I thought I was totally in control and Jesus saved me from my own sin. That's why we go to church. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. When Jesus saved you, he saved you with a mighty hand. It wasn't a little flick of the wrist. It was with a mighty hand. He went into hell and conquered the devil and took the keys of death from the devil and saved you with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt. He drowned those suckers in the Red Sea when they came after us. Pharaoh and all his household, he brought us out. He did it so bad that they would never come after us again. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he has sworn to our fathers. So I know that you think we were always blessed. I know that you think we always had salvation. I know that you think our marriage has always been good and you had a happy home to grow up in. But there's a time when I'm going to split up with your mom. But because of Jesus, we stayed together and you get to live in that blessing. So when your son and your daughter asks you what all this stuff means and why we do all this stuff, you tell them, listen, Jesus saved me. Jesus blessed me. And now I obey the word of God and I worship with all my heart and I think generationally. We've got to help our kids understand it didn't always look like this at the city church. It wasn't always three services. It wasn't always a time where we could believe God for another building and a school and so on. It wasn't always like that, but Jesus blessed us. And now if you follow the same God, he will bless you too. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is your day to do that. Listen, you can be blessed too. The blessing is not about earning it. The blessing is simply about receiving it. And the first thing you got to do is receive Jesus in your life. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you have a relationship with church and churchy things, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus himself, I want to let you know it's as simple as turning your heart over to Jesus. And it might be that the Holy Spirit is doing something in your heart right now, stirring within you, calling you to Jesus. And you might say, I don't even know if I understand all this stuff, but something's happening in my heart. Something's happening in my mind. If that's the case, that's God calling you to himself. If you're here today and you're saying, I used to have a relationship with Jesus, but I've walked away from it. I don't even know why I'm in church today. I just kind of thought I'd show up today. Listen, that was the Spirit of God drawing you, calling you back into relationship with himself. And if that's you, before I close my message today, I want to give you an opportunity to come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Or maybe for the first time, say, Jesus, I don't know all this stuff. I don't understand everything, but I know you're calling me today. And I turn my life over to you. All across the room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to have a moment of prayer with all those that want to begin a relationship with Jesus and those that want to come back and rekindle a relationship with Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across the room, if you're here today, you want to pray with me right now to start your relationship with Jesus or maybe to rekindle your relationship with Jesus. Would you just raise your hand and give me a wave with every head bowed, every eye closed? I see those hands. Amazing. I see those hands. Amazing. Love to pray with you today. Church, we've got a few people today that are rekindling, restarting, maybe beginning for the first time the relationship with Jesus. And it's our joy, it's our honor to pray with them. So on the count of three, please repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. Say, Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, dying for my sin. Listen, if you raise your hand, pray this prayer with all the faith in your heart. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to touch you right now. Repeat after me and just say, Jesus, I acknowledge I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. So today, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me, to heal me, and to lead me. From now on and forever, I am following Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give a round of applause to all those that prayed that prayer. Amazing.
So good. If that is you this morning, you either said yes to Jesus for the very first time or like Pastor Ben said, you rekindled your relationship with God. Everybody needs a one-time moment where you say yes in the affirmative, but Jesus has called us to be disciples. And we actually have some materials that we would love to put into your hand today if you did say yes to Jesus. So we'd ask you just take a few moments this morning, grab the Connect card that's there in the seat pocket in front of you. If you grab that card, fill it out, check off the appropriate box. And if you turn it into the info desk there in the lobby near the circular staircase, one of our team members is there and they want to give you those materials. They're free of charge, but again, they will help you on your discipleship journey. But we are so excited that you made that decision today to follow Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Ben, for that message this morning. So good. We're so blessed this morning by that message. Just a couple reminders before we go this morning. Remember, young adults, tonight at 6 p.m. our gathering for 18 to 35. Pastor Ben will be back tonight ministering to our young adults. And let's all stand up together today. If you came to church this morning hoping to have somebody to pray with you or for you, if you are in a difficult season of life, Some of our church leaders will be up here at the front of the stage immediately after service is dismissed, and they will be happy to pray with you about any of those circumstances. So leaders, you guys can make your way up at this time. Have a great rest of your long weekend. We will see you tonight, young adults, or we will see you next Sunday. You are dismissed.